Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In today's episode, I want to talk about global inflation, which unfortunately just hasn't gone away. This is a really difficult problem to solve. At the start of 2022, global rates of inflation were already elevated. Because of what happened with the COVID pandemic, we saw a surge in demand in the second half of 2021. Because of the lockdowns that were happening all over the world, there was a reduction in supply, and therefore we had a slight dislocation between demand and supply, and that drove up prices. But as we came into the start of 2022, it was expected that global inflation would come down during the year and we'd get back to a normal situation. When Russia invaded Ukraine, that changed the game completely because we saw a huge spike in the price of energy products and we saw a huge increase in food and other commodity items. And all of those massive price increases fueled inflation further. So we saw prolonged periods of high inflation and we've seen inflation hitting record levels in a lot of countries around the world. And as a response to that, a lot of central banks have started to increase interest rates. And I think there's a misconception at the moment that inflation is now on its way back down and everything will be fine. But we've just seen some results from the UK, which show that they've now hit a 40-year high in inflation in July. So it's actually getting worse. And we've seen similar numbers coming out from a variety of other countries. So in today's episode, we'll have a look at where we are right now with regards to global rates of inflation. We'll have a look at the G20, the 20 biggest economies in the world, and see what levels we're at and what the trend is, because that's the key issue here. Is the trend downwards or is the trend still going up? I'll then talk about the traditional way of solving high inflation. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to interest rates around the world. We'll then have a look at the UK announcement in a bit more detail. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen with inflation over the course of the next 3 to 6 months during the rest of 2022 and what the impact of all of that is for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, it'd be great if you could give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters so you can skip over things if you're not that interested in them. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. This table shows the latest published inflation figures for the G20 economies. And to make the analysis easier, I've ranked them from the highest levels down to the lowest levels. And you can see that right at the top of the shop is Turkey. And if you follow the channel, you'll know that we've been covering Turkey in some detail. There is an economic crisis going on in Turkey right now, and it's driven predominantly by the fact that Turkey is a net importer. It imports a lot of its energy, so it's buying in large amounts of oil, gasoline, and natural gas. And obviously the price of all of those commodities has risen dramatically over the last 6 months. And it also imports large amounts of food, which have also gone up in price. At the same time as all of those price increases, Turkey saw the value of the Turkish lira fall dramatically during the course of 2021. And the fall in value has continued throughout 2022. So it's been a real double whammy situation for Turkey. The next highest rate of inflation is in Argentina, which is also in economic crisis. And so these two countries are really outliers. And although the Ukraine war has had a big impact on both economies, they're not in the situation they're in as a sole result of what's going on in Ukraine. Russia's come in third on this list, and the current rate of inflation is 15.1%. And Russia's a really interesting situation. At the start of the Ukraine war, the Russian Central Bank increased interest rates to an emergency level of 20%. And this was done to try to stop inflation getting out of control. And at that point, inflation in the country was around 9%. We saw inflation rise to around 18%, and it steadily started to creep back down. And in response to this, the Russian Central Bank has reduced interest rates back to 8%, which is actually a lower level than it was at before the war started. So that would indicate that the Russian Central Bank is happy with where the inflation rate has got to. But when you look at this table, obviously Russia has the highest rate of inflation, excluding the two outliers, of any of the countries in the G20. And a rate of 15% is really not sustainable. So there's something very unusual going on in Russia right now, because if any of the other countries below them on this list was hitting 15%, those countries would be considering increasing interest rates dramatically to bring it back down. But Russia have reduced the rate of interest a number of times over the last couple of months. So what's happening in Russia is really unusual and doesn't really make sense. And there is a question mark as to whether or not the figures coming out of Russia right now are 100% reliable. The country with the next highest rate of inflation is Spain, which is coming in just under 11%. And you can see that there's been a considerable increase from the figures that were provided for June. The situation is very similar in the Netherlands. They've now got a rate of 10.3% versus 8.6% for June. So we've seen a really big jump over the last month. The United Kingdom's now at 10.1% versus 9.4% in June, and we'll come on to talk about that in some more detail later in the video. Inflation is still above 10% in Brazil, but has been coming down. It was at 11.9% in June. The United States is one of the countries on this list that has seen a reduction in the rate of inflation. It came down from 9.1% in June to 8.5% in July. And it'd be really interesting to see what that figure comes in at for August, whether or not this is a continued reduction or whether this is just a temporary reduction and we see prices starting to bounce back. Mexico has a current rate of inflation of 8.15%, which is up slightly against the figure in June. Italy's now at 7.9%, which is a slight reduction on the June figure. Canada, which has introduced a number of interest rate increases over the last few months, is now starting to see that feeding through in the economy, and inflation has dropped to 7.6% compared to 8.1% for June. Germany has seen a slight reduction from 7.6% to 7.5% in July. The current rate of inflation in South Africa is 7.4%, which is a monthly increase. India has seen a reduction in July from 7% to 6.7%. But the next four countries on this list, Singapore, South Korea, Australia and France, have all seen an increase in inflation over the last month. Inflation for the last four countries on this table, Switzerland, China, Saudi Arabia and Japan, is relatively stable and is at manageable levels. All of the rest of the G20 would be very happy if their current rates of inflation were similar to these countries. So why are the rates of inflation so high and how do you go about bringing them back down? Well, there are three main drivers for the current rates of inflation. As I mentioned at the start of the video, COVID-19 has had a big impact on global prices. We saw shortages in various products at the same time as a massive increase in demand. So that was one of the factors that has fed into global inflation. But two of the factors that directly relate to COVID are the fact that a lot of governments around the world reduced their interest rates to virtually zero. Everybody was concerned that we were going into a deep, deep depression as a result of the COVID pandemic. A lot of companies stopped trading. A lot of people were put onto furlough. There were a lot of support schemes. So people were panicking that they wouldn't have any income, they wouldn't be able to survive. Governments reduced interest rates, and that meant that the cost of borrowing was very, very low. And that worked really well. That helped everybody get through that period. But the flip side of having very low interest rates is that the cost of borrowing is really cheap. So that meant that people could rack up debt. So we saw really big movements in the housing market. People could borrow large amounts of money for very little cost. And at the same time as interest rates came down, a lot of countries around the world decided to embark on quantitative easing programs. Now, I've covered this off in a number of other videos, so I won't go into any great detail here on quantitative easing. But essentially, quantitative easing is when a central bank starts buying bonds in the market, and that provides liquidity. It gives all of the financial institutions more cash and encourages them to lend it out. And the idea is that QE acts as a stimulus for the economy to get everything back and moving again. So a lot of money was deliberately pumped into the economy, and it was very easy to obtain loans and investment. And because there was a lot of available extra cash, that fueled demand and therefore fueled inflation. And then the final driver for inflation was the Ukraine war. As I've mentioned in a variety of other videos, we saw a really big increase in oil prices, natural gas prices, and all other commodities and food prices. And this really fueled inflation further. So that's how we got to where we are, but how do you go about solving inflation? Well, the traditional method is to increase interest rates. And the logic on this is that firstly, it discourages people from taking new loans because the price of borrowing goes up, becomes more expensive, and therefore demand goes down. It also increases the cost of borrowing for some existing loans. If you don't have a fixed loan, if you've got a floating rate, then that will increase automatically as well. And the final factor is that it should encourage savings because savings rates increase and therefore people will want to put money in the bank and watch it grow rather than spending it. In addition to increasing interest rates, the opposite of quantitative easing is quantitative tightening. So this is the reverse process. So rather than fueling the economy, this should take some liquidity out of the economy and therefore make it more difficult to obtain finance and investment. And that's exactly what's been happening over the last few months. We've seen a variety of central banks starting to increase interest rates. Some have been quite aggressive. We've seen 50 basis point increases in a variety of different countries. And we've also seen all of the quantitative easing programs being stopped. But one of the problems that the world faces right now is that some of the inflationary factors are being driven by what's happening in Ukraine. So you can increase interest rates in your country and you can reduce the quantitative easing program. And that may cause a reduction in demand in your country. But if the price of oil is being set globally, because there's concerns about global shortages if Russia is taken out of the supply chain, then those changes in interest rates and quantitative easing in your country won't actually bring down the cost of fuel. So you can get to a situation where you're aggressively trying to bring down inflation in your country by hiking interest rates and cutting all of the money supply. But actually, it's not having any impact because the global prices are being affected by something else. And that's really a situation that we're in right now. We've got a very difficult position where a lot of countries are raising interest rates and reducing the supply of cash, but the prices aren't coming down because there's other factors driving them up. This table shows the current official interest rates for all of the G20. And once again, I've ranked this table in terms of the highest at the top and the lowest at the bottom. Argentina's official rate of interest is now 69.5%, which is an increase of 9.5% compared with the previous month. Now, as we discussed earlier, Argentina is in complete economic crisis right now. An interest rate of 69.5% is off the scale. In the Western world, if you're charging an interest rate of 15 to 20%, you're seen to be a loan shark. So the official rate being close to 70% really shows the problems that Argentina is having right now. Now, you may be surprised to see that the rate of interest in Turkey is only 14% and has remained flat compared with the previous month, despite the fact that Turkey was actually top of the inflation chart and has inflation currently of around 80%. But if you follow the channel, you'll be aware that Turkey has been operating a contrarian approach to how to deal with inflation. So they decided that raising interest rates at a time of high inflation wasn't actually a good idea and that they were going to reduce interest rates. So at the back end of 2021, interest rates were around 19% in Turkey, and the central bank decided to start reducing them. And what happened was the rate of inflation went from around 20% to the current rate of 80%. So I think it's been proven categorically that reducing interest rates at a time of high inflation absolutely does not work. All it's done is fueled inflation further. With Turkey sticking to its guns, and for the last 6 months or so, it's left its rate of inflation unchanged at 14%, which does seem crazy given the rate of inflation, but that's where we are. The official interest rate in Brazil is 13.75%, which is an increase on the previous month. And as we just discussed, the rate of inflation is starting to come down. So this approach does seem to be working in Brazil. Mexico is the next highest on the list at 8.5%. And Russia's official rate of inflation is now 8%. And as I mentioned when we talked about the inflation table, the Russian central bank has been reducing the rate from 20% down to 8%. But it doesn't seem like the right timing to me because the rate of inflation is still above 15%, so still extremely high. South Africa has the next highest interest rate at 5.5%, India's 5.4%, China 3.7%, Indonesia 3.5%, and Saudi Arabia 3%. The next batch of countries on this list have a relatively low rate of interest right now when you look at it compared to what's going on in Argentina and the other countries. However, there has been some rapid movement in the rate of interest in a lot of these countries. This chart shows the movement in the rate of inflation in Canada, so you can see that it's gone from less than 0.5% at the start of 2022 to 2.5% today, and it's likely that we will see further increases. This is the same chart for the United States, which has an identical shape to it. The UK's also seen a rapid increase in the rate of inflation, but it's very likely, given the latest set of figures, that it will continue to see aggressive movements over the next few months because it hasn't worked yet. It's actually increasing the rate of inflation right now. This is the chart for South Korea, which has also seen a rapid increase. And this is the position for Australia, which has only just started to increase interest rates. And it's likely that we'll see a continuation of this trend over the next few months. And one thing that's really interesting to note about this table is what's happening with the euro area. A large number of countries in Europe have signed up to a centralized financial policy. And that means that France, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and Spain do not have direct control over their own interest rates. They have to make collective decisions for the whole of the eurozone. And that's causing real problems. We looked at the rates of inflation earlier, and we saw that most of these countries have got rising rates of inflation, and all of them have levels above where they are looking to be. So if these countries were in charge of their own policy, they would have been increasing their rates of interest by now in an effort to bring down inflation. But because they're having to do things collectively for the good of the group, the euro area has decided not to move interest rates aggressively yet. And this chart shows exactly what's been happening with regards to the interest rate for the euro area. So there's only been one increase so far. It's likely that we will see a lot more increases because the levels of inflation are far too high. But unfortunately, all the countries have to make this collective decision. So it's a lot slower than all the other countries have been to react to the current situation.
Prices are surging even higher in the UK. The country's inflation rate jumped to 10.1% in July. That's above all economist forecasts and the fastest rate since February 1982. Surging energy prices were the main driver. They've jumped since the start of conflict in Ukraine. It all has the Bank of England predicting a long but shallow recession. Some economists see parallels with the 1970s. Back then, Britain also faced stubborn inflation, a cost of living crisis, and mounting worker unrest. Older Britons still remember the period of power cuts and shortages. In the early 1970s, a Conservative government tried to boost growth, but instead stoked inflation. An energy crisis led to talk of limits on home heating. Now the contenders to replace Boris Johnson as Prime Minister face a similar dilemma.
The UK has announced that inflation hit 10.1% in the 12 months to July, which is up from 9.4% in June. And this is a new 40-year high. And what's really interesting about these statistics is that the increase is being driven partly by massive increase in the cost of food and drink. This chart shows the price movement for a variety of different categories. And you can see that flour has gone up by almost 30%. And this isn't a surprise because wheat is one of the commodities that we saw a huge increase in prices as a result of Ukraine, because Ukraine and Russia are two of the biggest exporters of wheat. So the global market has been hugely impacted by the war. Milk prices have gone up by around 30%. Butter is up 27%. Pasta, which is actually made using wheat, is up around 24%. Olive oil is also up around 24%. And this again is a direct impact from Ukraine, because Ukraine is the largest exporter of sunflower oil. And because those exports have stopped, that's meant that there's been shortages of sunflower oil and everybody's moving towards the other alternatives. And olive oil is one of the most popular alternatives in the UK. Margarine and other fats, which is also related, are up over 22%. In addition to the movement in food prices, the other main contributor is the increase in energy costs, which has risen rapidly because of high oil and gas prices. Worryingly for the UK, factory gate prices increased by 17.1%, which is the highest movement since August 1977. And the increase in prices paid by factories is at 22.6%. And these prices are a good indicator of what's likely to happen to inflation going forward, because increases in prices at the factory gate will be passed on to consumers, because the companies that are making products will need to increase their sales price to make sure that they continue to earn profit. In terms of the cost of living, average wages are rising at around 4.7% in the UK. So when you compare that to a 10.1% rate of inflation, you can see that the standard of living is falling. People are being paid less on a real basis. In terms of the outlook for the UK, Citibank is now forecasting that the rate of inflation will rise to around 15% in the first 3 months of 2023, unless the government takes drastic action to change the course, and predicted that rates will rise to 3% by the end of 2022. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video to remind everybody that global inflation is still a massive issue. Rises in prices are affecting all of us. And although you may see headlines about the price of oil starting to fall, it's all relative. On a long-term 5-year average basis, prices are very high and we are starting to suffer from that. We're starting to see this inflation sitting around and causing an increase in the cost of living and a reduction in the standard of living. When you look at what's happening with inflation, it's the fundamental products that have risen the most. So I've just covered it in the UK. The price of food has increased by around 3 times the rate of inflation. So that affects the poorest members of society the most. And it's the same with energy costs. We've seen really big increases in gasoline prices and the cost of electricity and gas that's bought directly by consumers. And that impacts everybody, because everybody needs to heat their homes, they need electricity and all of the basics to live on. So the headline inflation figures that we're talking about, 8.5% in the US, 10.1% in the UK, When you dig down, the real costs are actually a lot more than that. The day-to-day living costs have gone up much more than those official figures. So in response to this, we've started to see central banks hiking interest rates. But the problem with doing that is that it increases the cost of borrowing. And a lot of the poorer members of society have debt, and therefore it's impacting directly upon them. And the movements that we've seen in interest rates have been quite aggressive. We've got used to extremely low rates of interest, 0.1% in a lot of countries around the world. You could borrow money and it didn't cost you anything. And over the last few months, we've started to see movements of 25 basis points and 50 basis points. And they keep coming. It's getting more regular. So rates of interest are now at 1.5%, 2%, 2.5%. And it's likely that they will continue rising further. So the proportionate increase in debt costs has been massive. Now, you may turn around and say that on a long-term basis, they're still very low. And that's true, they are. But because everybody's got used to these low rates, the shock factor is quite high. And also, a lot of people have taken on debt through the pandemic period and through the period of the last 6 months. And the increase in interest rates is really starting to bite. So it's quite likely that what we will see is a reduction in demand, which is enforced on a lot of people because they won't have enough money to be able to buy a lot of things. But the key issue is, will inflation come down? Will we see a reduction in demand bringing back down prices? And I'm not sure that we will, because a lot of the prices are being driven by what's happening in Ukraine and elsewhere around the world. So there are global concerns about the supply of oil and whether or not we've got enough natural gas, whether there's enough LNG, whether we've got a regasification plant to be able to make that LNG to get it into the system to make electricity. So all of these factors are driving up global prices. And what we could easily get to is a situation where we've still got high levels of inflation, but we've also got high interest rates. And that's the worst case scenario for most people in society. Because what you don't want to do is have reducing amount of money at the same time as prices are going up. Because all that means is that you've got less disposable income to buy things. And for the very poorest in society around the world, the biggest problem is food. So if you're spending the vast majority of your money on food and the price of food goes up by 10%, then generally speaking, you'll be able to buy 10% less food than you could previously because you just don't have any savings or any way of paying that extra cash. So that's the extreme example. But for all of us all around the world, the cost of living is rising. And in the next 3 to 6 months, it's likely that we'll see a situation where interest rates will go up, so the cost of borrowing will be higher, but prices won't come down as quickly as those interest rates are going up. So the standard of living for most of us is going to be squeezed over the next 3 to 6 months. And one of the problems we've got is the Ukraine war is carrying on. It's now almost become a fixture in everybody's life. We just accept that Russia has invaded Ukraine and that's the current situation. Now, we've no idea when this war is going to end, but I can tell you that when Russia invaded Chechnya in 1999, that conflict lasted for 10 years. Now, hopefully we're not talking anything like 10 years here, but there is a chance that this war will carry on for the rest of 2022 and into 2023. And if it does carry on, there will still be concerns about the global supply of oil and gas and wheat and a variety of other commodities. So those prices are likely to stay high, and it's likely that we'll see increasing interest rates and we will all be squeezed in the middle. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.